The Man in the Iron Mask. King Louis, after his marriage with the Infanta of Spain, feels that he must once again go into the country to see the Cardinal's niece, with whom he is deeply in love. The Queen's suite adjoins that of the King, and she has quarreled violently with Louis. But Louis's mother goes to her and reasons with her, pointing out to her her wifely duties and duties as Queen of France. So later that night, when Edmund, masquerading as the King, has retired, he hears a soft step, and there before his startled eyes stands the Queen.
I hope I haven't disturbed you, Louis.
Disturbed me?
I waited until the attendants had retired. You see, I wanted to speak with you alone, to try to make you understand that I will do everything in my power now to make us both happy.
But I don't want to be married happy.
Oh, Louis, don't joke about this, please. We have been married according to the Spanish custom and according to the French one. You are the King of France and I am the Queen. We have our duty to France and to ourselves. Perhaps it is because I come from Spain, because I have had a cloistered upbringing, that I am not broad-minded enough to condone your actions when you drink and when you joke in your strange ways.
But Maria, we quarreled. You should not have come through that door.
Oh, perhaps not, when I didn't have your permission, but I have a confession to make. Your mother came to me and pointed out to me my fault. I realize now that I am your wife, and that whatever you do should be right in my eyes. Oh, Louis, do let us try and understand each other.
Oh, but I...
No, don't rise from your bed. I know I have disturbed you, but I wanted you to understand... Louis, where are you going?
It's dark, and I can't find my robe. We must have candles, light. I must ring for the attendant.
But why? Why? I came to you late at night because it is only then that we can talk alone.
But I don't want to talk.
You're still very angry with me. If you could only understand that I am not used to seeing a man in his cups. On our wedding night when you reeled into this apartment, your eyes bloodshot. I was frightened of you. But after talking with your mother, I've made up my mind that we will get used to one another. Will you forgive me?
No, don't come near me. No, don't. I think I'll take a walk in the garden.
In the garden? At this time of night? Louis, come back. Louis. He's gone. How strange he is. At times he's cool, overbearing. And yet tonight, it is almost as though he were frightened of me. Who could be frightened of Maria Teresa? If he only knew the fear I have of him at times.
Somebody's going to pay for this, Letellier. A broken axle. What kind of carriages that they build for the King of France?
It could happen to anybody, Your Majesty. The roads in these parts are not in the best of condition.
Roads unparalleled with the horses. That absurd horse that we changed the last in. Was it just dying of starvation, or had it come in from a long journey only to continue with us?
I gave orders for fresh horses, Your Majesty. And horses have been known to collapse, even good ones.
Oh, we've been hours on the road, hours. And now I can't imagine what I shall do when we reach the house. My little Maria will be asleep in her bed. I will not be able to send her the usual message because it's so late. And that means that our evening, which should have been spent together, will be wasted.
Oh, because of the confounded carriage and worn-out horse.
Don't upset yourself, Your Majesty. Perhaps there is a solution to that.
You're not suggesting that we rap on the front door, wake her chaperone, and tell her that the King of France wants to speak with the Cardinal's niece. And the news would fly back to the Cardinal within a day.
No, Your Majesty, but... in the meetings you have had with the lady, you may have observed that after she has left you, she has gone to her own apartments, which are on the ground floor of the house, on the orchard side.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, Your Majesty, if I could steal across the orchard and tap on the windows, telling her that you were here, you may yet see her tonight.
Why, Letellier, you're a wizard, a magician. Of course.
Now, what would I do without you?
Oh, my brains are so addled with these niggardly affairs of state that I can't think for myself. It's a splendid idea, Letellier.
Only tell that false coachman to whip the horses up. Are we running behind a hearse?
Eventually, the king arrived at the little village on the outskirts of which nestled a house where the cardinal had sent his niece. On the top of the hill looking down on this village was the nunnery, for which his niece was destined. And even as the king and Letellia stepped out of their carriage, the moon rose from behind this nunnery, lighting it in a pale yellow mist, as though to point out to the king that it was here that Maria, the cardinal's niece, belonged, and that this was to be her future home. But the king was unmindful of such omens as he walked impatiently up and down under a great elm tree, waiting for Letellia to return from his mission. Finally, a rustle of leaves in the distance told him that someone was approaching. And as he ran eagerly forward across the little bridge, hoping to see his beloved once again, he stopped short, for here was Letellia alone.
Oh, Letellia, where is she? Where's Maria?
Your Majesty, I'm afraid I have not brought her with me.
Oh, don't waste time telling me of the obvious. Is she taking time with her dressing, perhaps? You've been away half an hour.
No, Your Majesty.
Well, weren't you able to speak with her? Were you running as the miles? Were they not her rooms?
I did speak with her, Your Majesty, but I fear that she has no wish to see you.
What?
No wish to see you.
But I don't understand. I'd come all the way from Paris, and Maria is desolate without me. What's the meaning of this, Letellia? Quickly, tell me.
It seems, Your Majesty, that Maria has definitely made up her mind that you and she must not meet again. Within a week, she enters the nunnery. She feels it would be wrong to prolong the pain of another separation.
Oh. So that was the reason. Oh, my lovely little Maria. I should have gone myself, Letellia. I would have talked away her fears. Oh, why has she this determination to throw her life away?
She is a good woman, Your Majesty. She has a mission in life.
I'll go to her now. I'll make her understand that these precious minutes mean so much.
Your Majesty, don't go.
Well, why not, Letellia?
Somebody heard me. The house is astir. You'd be taking too great a risk.
Astir? Oh, then you were disturbed.
Yes, Your Majesty, I have to hurry away.
Oh. But she knows I'm here in the village. Perhaps tomorrow, Letellia. I'll dispatch a note to her tomorrow. Come, let us go to our accommodation in the village.
Yes, Your Majesty. Oh, if only you knew. She never wants to see you again. But that I dared not tell.
Meanwhile, in the palace of the king in Paris, the apartments were still in darkness, but the brightness of the moon shining through the French windows revealed a figure, a waiting figure, reclining on a chaise longue. This was Maria, waiting for the man whom she believed to be the king to return from his walk in the garden. Her long talk with the queen mother had made her determined that this quarrel, this estrangement, must be patched up for the good of everybody concerned. But it was not until an hour later that she saw a dark figure stepping warily across the terrace towards the apartments once again. She lay perfectly still until he had crept up to the French windows, peered inside, and then stepped in, quickly locking them behind him. Even when he crossed the bedchamber and lighted the candle, she made no move. And it was not until he turned. Oh!
I'm still here, Louis. Still waiting for you.
Maria, this is impossible. I've been gone an hour and yet you're still
here. I would have waited the whole of the night. Oh, Louis, please don't treat me as though I were a stranger. You think I hate you, don't you? Because I told you I did. But don't you understand you were drunk then? Tipsy with wine, saying foolish things. As you are now, Louis, I know I could grow to love you very deeply. Sometimes I feel that you are as two men.
Two men?
Yes. One whom I love and one whom I abhor. It's strange, but tonight, standing there as you are with that soft look in your eye, that strangely soft note in your voice, which is so different to the affectation which you assume in public, I feel I am very much in love with you all over again.
You mustn't talk like this, Maria. It's madness. Madness.
Oh, perhaps it is. Perhaps I am a woman who has two minds. A woman who can't understand herself, Louis. But tonight I feel that we should patch up our differences. And perhaps find that we have a true understanding each of the other.
Go back to your apartment.
Go back to my apartment?
I don't want to see you again.
Oh, Louis. Have I offended you so deeply?
You must go through this door. This is not the right time to talk of such matters. You must wait, Maria.
Wait?
Yes.
Then, when can we talk? We can't go on as we are. I walled up in my apartments and you in yours.
We can talk in 4 days' time.
4 days? Our nuptial week. In 4 days it will be gone. Oh, Louis.
Stand back. Don't come near me.
Louis, can't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I have discovered something here in my heart. No matter what I said on our wedding night, I love you, Louis. I love you.
Oh, this is impossible. No, don't. Maria, I realize that I've got to tell you the truth.
The truth?
Yes. But you must promise that you won't scream. You won't call for help. Please promise that.
Louis, these are rash words.
You won't scream, will you? You won't rush from this room in fright and call for help.
What are you trying to tell me?
Maria, I am not your husband.
What?
I am not the King of France.
Maria Theresa's eyes widened in incredulous amazement. She stood back quickly and stared in alarm as Edmund uttered these extraordinary words. Will she raise the household now that the secret is out? Make sure you hear the next exciting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.